Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week, we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium close to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner, firstly by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club. Lloydie, another episode of Fit and Proper. How are you?
Reesey.
We've done this too many times. We've gone through the nickname process too many times on this podcast now.
Rice.
Come on, mate.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not
feeling
too bad.
Feeling fresh.
Had a couple of beers last night. Did a show in London and...
London, the prestigious London, England.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, just a bit, mate. Yeah, apparently it's really hard to get a slot there.
It's a good place, good crowd, nice people, and can I just say, cold lager.
Cold, right, that's the appeal, is it? We're doing ads already, are we, quite early into the episode? Cold lager. Do you like cold lager? Go to London, where Lloyd Griffith may sometimes perform.
I love a cold, crisp continental lager.
What were you drinking last night, then?
Have you heard of the phrase Madry?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd call it a phrase, but I have heard of Madry, yes.
It's definitely a phrase, isn't it? I've just said it.
You've got Madry written all over you, actually.
Have I?
Yeah, because you're wearing the branding. No, you just have...
I'm wearing a Doc's Beers
hoodie. You're in a different beer. And you're wearing the hoodie of a different beer.
Beanie as well. So I literally have Doc's Beers written all over me. Literally. I don't mind it, though, Bruce.
Last night, Lloyd, guess what I did?
You played pool.
No, I met our boss, Gary Lineker, for the first time.
Did you?
I was at an event with Gary. I won't go into too much detail, obviously, because he's an avid listener of the show, as he made clear to me. He listens to every minute of every episode. Of course he does.
Did he? Did he say that?
He said something to that effect. We had a nice chat. Talked about Jack Grealish for a bit. It was good. Classic stuff. It was good fun. Yeah, me and the big man, me and Gaz.
Well, Gaz, only the sons can call him Gaz.
I know, but it sort of felt like a son when we met last night. Given that my in was, I know your son. I was so infantilized at this party. There was like three guests at this party where I was like, oh, I'm friends with your son. And I was like, oh, I was the youngest there by a long way. And my in with everyone was that I was friends with their son. So, you know, none of it was ideal.
Glenn Moore.
Glenn Moore's on the podcast today. I went to see his show at the Soho Theatre recently, his hit Edinburgh show and tour show. It is absolutely phenomenal, Lloyd. It's unbelievable.
Is it actually?
His shows are always amazing, but this is like, even for him, is a step up. It's flawless. It's perfect. But anyway, the reason I mention it is because he's doing one more date after this podcast comes out on March the 11th at the Leicester Square Theatre, where you were last night.
Yes, I was
last night.
Go
and watch Glenn Moore's show if there's tickets left at the Leicester Square Theatre. You won't be disappointed. It's sensational stuff. So he's a friend of the show, and I'm sure he's going to have some pretty wacky ideas about how to run a football club.
Shall we have a go?
Yeah. Joining us today on Fit and Proper is a comedian, a writer, I suppose, actor in the stand-up sketch show, and maybe other things. He's looking blankly at me.
No, do you know what? I'll accept that. But as soon as he said, I think actor, I thought he's going to say stand-up sketch show.
Yeah, that's all I can imagine.
Doesn't count.
It's kind of acting.
Is mime?
Miming your own stand-up. Yeah. I mean, I'd say that probably falls under the stand-up umbrella. Also, radio co-host.
Yes.
That is true. I know that's true.
Yeah, very much true.
For a fact, because I once was getting a haircut. And my hairdresser said, oh, you're a comedian. Oh, do you know who I love? There's a guy who's on the Dave Berry Breakfast Show and he like chips in all the time with funny little quips. And I went, Glenn Moore. And he went, yeah, I think that's it. I love him. And it was where we used to live. So I was like, I told you, you've got to go to this hairdresser. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
But this guy loves you. You'll definitely get free haircuts. And then you said something like, oh, that always happens and no one ever recognizes me or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's never worked out. I never got a free one or anything like that.
He's your biggest fan.
But no, that's, I think the weirdest is a couple of friends said to me, they said, oh, we had sex to you once. which was horrible to hear. I'd just been on the radio and they'd...
Early morning, like sex.
Yeah, you're on a breakfast show.
Do you know,
right?
This is the weird
bit. They listen on catch up.
This is when I used to be a newsreader. The news had interrupted their mid-coital listening of Jazz FM.
Oh my God.
Jazz FM.
Yeah, I wasn't even knowingly doing the news on Jazz FM. I used to just read the news for like a syndicated thing. So it would go out. Yeah. The news just goes out on hundreds of radio stations.
Any memory of what the news was?
So you get, no. I'm sure it wasn't. I mean,
tragedy struck.
Well, yeah, I think it was like 2016 or so. So it was during the sort of ISIS heyday. But
and celebrity deaths.
Yeah, that year. No connection between the two. But it meant you'd get like really weird messages from a friend of yours who lives in like Barron Furness, being like, "Hey, you working on my local radio station at Barron Furness?" And it was like, "I'm not.
I'm in a small cupboard in London." Can you give Glenn his proper introduction? Because you haven't actually given his
And newsreader, sex interrupter,
yeah.
And football fan, crucially.
Yes,
you're a football fan.
I am.
You like it and you support.
Can you say Glenn's name, for God's sake?
Glenn Moore.
Thank you.
You support Glenn Moore. That phrase is now going to be, you support Glenn Moore. People know it from the episode title, I reckon. They'll have seen it.
Yeah, but I still think it's just right and proper, or should we say fit and proper?
For God's sake, Lord.
Okay, to say the guest's name in the episode.
Fine.
I think that's
Call me a stickler for detail. But yeah.
Well, Glenn Moore is your name, and you support Sheffield.
Unless you wait to the end of the episode to say, this guest required no introduction.
That's how that phrase should be done.
The first question that we have is, can we get Dave Berry's details?
Yeah.
Because you'd like him on the pod.
He'd be like him on the pod, yeah. No, Charlton.
So is this the only reason why you've invited me on? Huh?
No, not at all. He's a big Charlton fan, isn't he?
He's a massive Charlton fan. Yeah.
And when did he first start going to Charlton? No. you support Sheffield Wednesday.
I'd love to be interviewed on behalf of someone else. My client would like to not answer that question. He's going to plead the fifth on that one.
Fair enough. Why do you support a Sheffield-based team, Glenn?
I support Sheffield Wednesday and have done since 2000 and probably I'd say 2012. Which is quite late.
It's very, it's 10 years, I'd say.
Yes, to the day. And the reason why is because I didn't have a team when I was growing up. I just supported England.
Where are you from, Glenn?
I'm from Croydon.
Yeah, because it's not a very Sheffield accent that I'm getting.
No, not at all. Nor is it a Croydon accent. But no. I'd say the closest Premier League team when I was growing up was Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And then you had the other sort of notable teams were obviously Sutton, Cushalton Athletic. Those are sort of the two sort of fairly all right ones. But I just didn't have a team. I wasn't from that much of a sort of footballing family.
Yeah.
And none of them really had a team they cared about that much. My dad kind of had a passing interest in Chelsea, I guess. So I just kind of followed good teams. I just watched Liverpool quite a lot during their Champions League run, and quite a bit of Manchester United, but that was kind of it. But everything was done through the lens of, well, I care about how this affects the England squad. So when Owen got signed by Man U, I was like, well, he's going to be playing with Rooney week in, week out. This is great news. You know, that's just kind of the only way I sort of viewed it. So basically in 2011, I started working as a roving reporter for a radio station. And we were in Hillsborough. It was sort of in that area. And so I used to go to their press conferences every week. And it was when they were sort of in the sort of promotion, like in the sort of like playoff places in League One to go up to the Championship. And it was so exciting going to the press conferences every single week. Gary Megson was the manager at the time. Danny Wilson was the manager of Sheffield United at the time. And it was really fun going to those press conferences and watching this sort of rivalry sort of develop. And it was like, it would be really fun if you were a supporter of one of those teams to get to go to one of the press conferences every week, ask the questions you wanted answering. And then so I just started to just thought, you know what, they're going to be my team and I'll start supporting them. And they got promoted ahead of United and I made the right decision temporarily.
In that moment. Didn't you say, you told me a story last week, didn't you, about something you asked at a press conference that was basically explaining one of the rules or something like that? Or was it not a press conference? It was a one-on-one chat, wasn't it? With a former Sheffield United manager, Sheffield Wednesday manager.
Well, I remember asking about kind of ways to bend the rules. Because I said, okay, could you ever play in a Roman centurion formation? I asked this to Gary Megson, where you have a central player and he's surrounded by about six other players. He dribbles the ball, but his six other players are moving in perfect unison with him. And they
could
just
never
dribble,
get tackled, yeah.
They just dribble over the goal and yet everything else would just be a foul. And he went, I'll have to look into that.
And he heard
and he came back the next week and he went, there's no rules. And he said, we might do that. And then he got sacked after the Sheffield Derby. So he hasn't managed a major team since. We'll never find out.
Has Gary Megson not managed since then?
It doesn't look like it. No, I think he's done a couple of caretaker jobs.
Do you think he's looking back on that going, if only I'd done it?
One more match and I would have done it.
Sliding doors moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember your first game?
Yeah, it was the Sheffield Derby.
It was a two-all draw.
And it was, I'd only been there for a couple of months. So I didn't really have much of a vested interest in either side. But yeah, it was brilliant. It was as good as League One could ever get, I thought.
Do you still chat to Gary? No?
No, I wish Nothing. I did. I wish I did. Yeah. He was so nice. He was such a nice man.
Yeah, he comes across like that. Lovely. I've never met him. Have you ever met him?
Never met Gary Megson.
Have you met
I know about him from Glenn's anecdotes, actually.
Any time I've ever been on like TalkSport or anything, they always ask me about how I came about supporting Sheffield Wednesday. And I always talk about Gary Megson the whole time and about how he smelt so nice.
What did he smell of?
It was aftershave, but it was just...
Do you know what aftershave it was specifically?
No, but I just remember it was my second encounter in my life with someone of that level of wealth. And because I remember once having to interview someone who'd been like secret millionaire on an episode of Secret Millionaire, and it was in Sheffield. So I got to interview him and he just smelt just different to what we did. It was just a different level.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I fully believe it. Like, multi-millionaires and multi-billionaires have access to different food and drinks that we don't, because it can't be the best drink.
Sorry, you also think they have access to different smells?
Oh, 100%.
I think I've got access to different roads.
So like,
they cannot be on the M1. They can't be. It just doesn't make sense to me that they travel in that route. And I just think what it really, really is the best drink Elon Musk has got access to, Pepsi Max. It can't be.
Have you heard of helicopters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon they do that instead of the M1.
But they've got to go by road sometimes.
No, he gets stuck in traffic in Succession and has to run.
And he's on the road. That was the only bit in Succession where I was like, that's far-fetched.
Yeah, that's probably just because Jesse Armstrong isn't rich enough to know about the secret roads.
But I think even now, like I hang around with footballers every now and then, as I'm sure do you, Reese. And I mean, you definitely do, don't you, Harry? He's still awake. And they smell different. And like entry level is like Tom Ford. Mm. And then you're getting into...
Who does he play for?
What?
Nothing.
I don't mind it. And then you're getting into certain ouds that you're just not aware of. Like, it's just a different set of... I was going to say different gravy.
Just, is it not that they just spray more of it
no,
on?
No,
no. It's just
Reese,
you've
got no idea.
They all... There's a sourness to men's aftershave that us fucking plebs have.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
That they don't.
Do you think it's just the way it meshes with our skin, our poor people's skin?
Or maybe athletes, you got like.
What are you saying Gary Megson's doing differently to us then?
I don't know, but you're saying you accrue a certain level of wealth. Or is it the other way around? Is it people who smell good earn more? Do you know what I mean? Is this a chicken and egg thing? People are going to want to give you money and work with you if you smell amazingly. Whereas we just smell like shit, so we've got a ceiling on our
own. I don't smell like shit. I smell quite nice today, thank you.
I remember doing a charity gig once where I got paid in a voucher for Liberty, but it was like £10, like among a
can't
so
buy
it. Like you can't buy anything. For
carry it back.
So I went into Liberty and I was just spraying all the free samples of aftershave, being like, these have to be. None of them. It was none of them came close.
Searching for the Megson smell.
Yeah, and the thing is,
so you're
searching
dead.
For the Megson
smell. Someday I'll smell Megson again.
Of all the senses in the, that you have, the smell is the one that, you know, where you've got the best sense of memory. Like occasionally you walk down the street and you go, oh my God, that's what my ex-girlfriend used to do. I still haven't encountered that smell again from Gary Megson.
I think there will be someone that listens to this podcast that will know Gary Megson 100%.
Do you know what? So the last time I got interviewed, this was on TalkSport. We ended up talking about Gary Megson's scent because I want to spread the word. And they said about 10 minutes later, they said we had a text through someone saying, I'm his postman and I can confirm it's unreal.
Really?
What? It is unreal.
So we need to, if any of you know Gary Megson, please do get in touch. We need to find what the scent is.
This is going to change. This podcast just changed.
This is
entirely.
Your Edinburgh show next year, mate.
I just wish I'd asked him. But one day, it was just one of those things. His last game was a win. His last game was a win, and the next day he just wasn't at the club anymore, and I never got to say goodbye.
You need closure.
I need closure.
Glenn just sniffing around the streets like a puppy.
The streets of Sheffield.
Trying to track down his idol.
So Sheffield Wednesday are currently in League One.
Yeah.
They're constantly fighting to get up. Where do you see them, or where would you like to see Sheffield Wednesday get back to? Where do you think they rightly belong? We've talked about them obviously being in the Premier League in the past and Championship. Where do you think that Sheffield Wednesday belong?
I don't see them in the Premier. I just don't see them being a consistent force in the Premier League. I think they'd be like West Brom. If they got out of the Premier League.
Yo-yo.
Up and down, up and down, up and down, and then just like lengthy periods away from it. I think I would like to see them always in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
So in the Championship, like they belong in the Championship. I reckon they'll go back up again this year.
Yeah.
But I reckon I'd like to see them always come sixth. And I'd like to see them make it to the actual final and lose on penalties. Hey, next year. Next season.
Funny thing for a fantasy guy.
Because you go, good, like balance is restored.
And at least you get one Wembley a year that you can go to. It's quite easy to get to.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a relative that I'm keeping ill. Do you know what I mean? Like that like Misha Barton's character in A Sixth Sense, where the mum's just keeping it ill the whole time. That's kind of what I'm like with Sheffield Wednesday.
I'm not
like,
giving them the right pills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm giving the goalkeeper diarrhea just before the penalty shoot. Yeah.
Are you aware of how the club is run at the moment and stuff like that? Do you take any kind of interest in that?
No, not into the actual sort of like ins and outs of the, but because it doesn't, I feel these things, if the news hasn't reached you organically,
it's fine.
Then you go, it's fine.
Probably normal.
And it's not exciting. And I feel like you can't engineer that. Like sometimes it's exciting. It's like Sunderland till I die. You go, oh my God, this is crazy. Or anytime Jose Mourinho is behind a team, you go, this is good. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to be really interesting.
Box office stuff.
Yeah. But generally you just sort of go, it is ultimately a company and it's fine. And I think my biggest conspiracy theory is that managers don't matter. And actually, I just think
that's interesting.
Yeah, I feel it's the same way of presidents and prime ministers. I feel like okay, they technically make a lot of decisions, but I don't think they're like inventing, creating the decisions.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I feel like if a managerless team would still be absolutely fine.
Do you think?
Yeah.
You think no with a team 100%, with no manager?
100%.
That is really interesting.
Even though
They're not going to win anything. But I truly think there is a limit to really what a manager can bring. So some people have a talismanic quality, like Alex Ferguson. But I think it was more just like, they felt like they needed him. When in reality, you sort of go, what? Really? What?
I think, though, it's...
I think this is my most controversial opinion. I don't think anyone... I wouldn't expect anyone to agree.
Statistically, I know where it's coming from.
When Alex Ferguson left and he wasn't the manager, they were shit.
Yeah, but to Glenn's point, they did have a manager at that time.
They did.
So maybe they'd have been better if it... Rather than replacing with David Moyes, it was just no
manager.
Yeah.
And then you get this sort of in the trenches camaraderie of like, our sergeant has been killed, but we've got to band together and we've got to do something. And that's how teamwork manifests, rather than being forced on you by a manager.
Why certain teams, when a manager goes, their next few results are better when like the caretaker manager's in charge and stuff. You know, you often see
new
it.
New manager bounce.
You turn hard.
New manager bounce. Oh.
Big breaking news coming from one of the sleeping giants of British football. It's Sheffield Wednesday and they've got a new owner. The fans will be singing more, more, more because that new owner, it's Glenn Moore.
Well, congratulations.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Kept that quiet.
I did. I wasn't expecting this. I expected to...
Read it yourself on the news?
Well, no, I just expected to get relatively far in the audition process and then get given diarrhea just before the end. and just every year I'm always applying for the job but never quite getting it. That's where I
want to
be.
Yeah, that's where you want your team to be. That's where you want to be. How much did it set you back to buy Sheffield
Not
Wednesday?
A great deal. They were doing 2-for-1 and on Sheffield team. So I got Sheffield United and...
And Wednesday.
Yeah, as long as it became one like stadium of Bramallsborough. So that's basically how it worked. But it was 2 for the price of none. It was if the clubs are being sort of dissolved into one, then you basically get it for just pennies, you know.
Really?
So I got it on a free. Yeah, you should be able to get teams on a free transfer.
How did you?
How
did it go to you though? Because there must have been a lot of competition. If people saw, there's these two massive clubs with massive stadiums, are going to meld into one. It's available. Does anyone want it? Were you just the first person in the queue?
He was there.
I think just one of those moments where you reflect, like I happened to be on the Argos website at like 6 a.m. the day the PS5 came out. And it was just like, oh, I'm ahead of the queue. Like,
right.
You know when like Spice Girls tickets go on sales? Someone is at the front of the queue. Someone got to the very front of the queue.
But someone buys the first Glastonbury ticket
every
year. So, I never really thought about it like that, but I guess you're right.
So you did that with the Sheffield
ticket. And it's Ticketmaster is the answer. Ticketmaster gets the first.
Yeah.
So that's how you bought a club. You just went on a website and bought the club.
I went on the website. I was going to get my first ever Sheffield Wednesday shirt. And it said, while you're here, it's discounted. It's 75% off.
So it was like a Dairy Milk at the till.
It really, really was. Club, yeah, it was all like, well, I was just going to get a shirt. But while you're here, you end up buying the entirety of the club. Unlimited shirts.
Is your first port of call as owner of the Sheffields to get rid of a manager? Are you going to go manager free and put your money where your mouth is?
I want to go for pure chaos manager-wise. Yeah. And I want to go for what I believe is the most quietly chaotic manager of our lifespan, which was Alan Pirin when he was manager of Portsmouth. And he didn't seem chaotic at the time, but Portsmouth doing very badly. They got rid of him and they replaced him with Harry Redknapp. And I remember Harry Redknapp giving an interview where he went, what the fuck is that? He said, none of the players speak the same language as each other and there's no universal language. None of them can communicate with each other. He said, I don't know what to do. This was during the Portsmouth when they're sponsored by the Beanie Babies that time.
Beanie Babies.
And I just think, and Alan Perrin has somehow Forrest Gumped his way through like a series of other clubs. I'll go on his Wikipedia just to see where he's at now. And he would always be at some sort of lower league Scandinavian club or somewhere in China. I just think bring him back here.
Gets the job of the first time the Sheffields have been united into one mega club. He's in charge.
He's the one to go, right, none of you are allowed to speak the same language as each other.
Can I just go back as well? We haven't got a name for this club. And you've just said the Sheffields are united. And I don't think that'll sit very well.
So the Sheffields are united. Yeah, you're right.
So what are you calling? So you've bought two Sheffield teams. That's what's gone on. Okay. And you're combining them?
Yes.
And do you think that the fans of those two have a huge 100-year history of hating each other will be fine with that?
Well, if United don't like it, then they can go and support Barnsley, Rotherham or Doncaster or any of the other teams.
Okay, so you're
calling it primarily Wednesday.
And we're not officially calling it Wednesday, but we're using some of the letters. So we'll call it Sheffield Wenceslas.
Okay, that's fine.
Great. So your first chant is sorted.
Yeah. We want to give it a name that sounds like your mum has tried to remember what the name of the team is. Yeah.
Sheffield Wenceslas, and it's looks more terrible. Like Wednesday are absorbing United rather than it's 50-50 combining.
Yes. Yeah. It's that. It's Wernham Hog taking on the Swindon branch, basically. That's kind of what it is. They've been made smaller. We'll take on a couple of their players, but ultimately it's like we're still keeping Barry Bannon and, you know.
So are you staying in the Wednesday? Are you making a massive stadium?
We're renaming Hillsborough Bramallsborough. But we're going to keep it Hillsborough.
Hell, this
Bramall Lane can be used elsewhere. To be honest, I'm going to say I prefer Bramall Lane just because of where it's situated.
Wow.
Because Bramall Lane is where you want your stadium to be because it's just surrounded by houses and it's really fun on the way to a match watching everyone leaving their homes as you're walking along. And then it becomes this huge group of people like the Vindaloo music
video. Yeah.
Whereas like Hillsborough is in the middle of fucking nowhere.
On a lot of hills.
It's in the middle of that. On one side, there's housing. Yeah, yeah. On one side, there's housing. On the other side, it's basically an A road. And there's like a little kind of petrol station with the Burger King and a KFC. And a Burger King, which over the years I have known multiple people to shit themselves out. And I find that so funny because I'd understand if like, oh, there's a bad restaurant, an independent restaurant where everyone you know shits themselves. I find it very funny that Burger King, that's got an existing recipe around the world, just has one prompt where you go, there's something fundamentally wrong with this Burger King.
And this, I'm not making this up. I went to that Burger King last year and I am not making this up. You can ask my mate, Ashley Grove, who is a Sheffield Wednesday fan. That's why I went with him to the game last year against Gillingham. I left that Burger King and needed a shit so bad, I had to go to the Sainsbury's up the road. Do you know the Sainsbury's?
What, and shit in the Sainsbury's?
What, in the toilet in the Sainsbury's, yes. Yeah. Like
public toilet, or beg to use the staff one?
No, public toilet, yeah, like the normal toilet. But yeah, so that's, and I'm not making this up.
It is bizarre. It's so bizarre, but that is just one like cataclysmically bad.
Are you doing anything to? Are you keeping that Burger King?
Keeping the Burger King. Because everyone who lives around the area knows not to go to that Burger King.
And so it's just where away fans
can go. And also, if away team are feeling a bit complacent before the match, and they go, I might get the extra large cheeseburger.
You've got to clean all that shit up when they turn up to what was your stadium called?
It's Bramallsborough.
Bramallsborough. So you've got to clean all that shit up, effectively, because they're going to bring a trail of shit to the stadium.
Price to pay for what is ultimately going to be a real turnaround for the club.
The Atmos will be incredible.
Okay, so what's the name of the club? Oh, we got it, sorry. Sheffield Wenceslas.
And they're going
to be playing at Bramallsborough.
Yes.
Right, and essentially Sheffield United, who are in the league above Sheffield Wednesday, you'll try and essentially just
liquidate them.
We'll just go, just filled whoever you want for that. To like, just to, like, if they can have like a reserve team that sort of goes there, or because I think we'd actually play by the rules. We go, you know what? Keep your higher up Sheffield United. Keep your position.
Yeah,
we're going to do this legitimately from League One. We're going to make our way up.
Like AFC Wimbledon and MK Dons. Exactly. Yeah.
So okay, are you bringing any players in to this? Or get your pick of the United players, or
no? I'm getting mainly my pick of players who don't play anymore, but the players that I were mainly my sort of Prevo 4 squad, my go-to squad.
Yes, please.
And I'd like to bring them back because I think almost exclusively none of them play anymore.
Who are we talking?
Go on.
Okay, Paul Robinson in goal. Now hear me out. Now he wasn't the best goalkeeper, but I've realised that in early Prevo, goalkeeper skill didn't really matter because the goalkeeper, the AI wasn't brilliant.
They were all the same.
Exactly. So Paul Robinson, again, everything watched through that England lens, I cared a lot about him.
Yeah.
Now we've got a back three of Stam, Cordoba, and Sammy Hupia.
Fine,
so
okay.
Two big guys, one small and speedy ones. Yeah. Okay. So that's your back three. Now we have five in midfield. It's a very defensive midfield. Okay. You've got Roberto Carlos as your left wing back. Steven Gerrard as your right wing back.
What?
Right, yep.
Oh my God.
Genuinely, this worked really well in Prevo.
Harry's face is the best thing to look at. He's just going, what is going on right now?
Because he would always be able to cut inside. Steven Gerrard scored his best ever goal against Middlesbrough and he was really far out on the right wing, okay? He can score from anywhere on the pitch and he's great at cutting back and he was great at whenever he was brought back into a sort of right back position.
And crucially, for your policy, Roberto Carlos is not going to understand a word he's saying.
Roberto Carlos is, they cannot communicate.
So they will not communicate at all.
It's like the Soccer 11 World 11, brilliant. Okay? Right, then you've got two defensive midfielders in the form of Cambiasso and Gattuso. So Cambiasso is your great passer, Gattuso is just your hard tackler. At the front of that, you've got Pavel Nedved, absolutely belting them in from about 50 yards out.
Yes, yeah.
A top two ambitious of big guy, short guy. You've got Luca Toni and Obafemi Martins.
Great.
Yeah. Obafemi Martins in Prevo inexplicably had a shot power of 99 when he was 17. Well, 17 in the game, significantly older in real life.
Yeah. 17 for 10 years in a row.
Yeah, so that is my first 11. And like in Prevo, I had zero substitutes. I always just used those guys because I just made sure I worked on their stamina to make sure they could play every game. We have no subs.
And you don't 11. Fear the, you know, the modern game has extremely high fitness levels.
Huge.
Of course.
Compared to even when a lot of these guys were playing.
Yeah.
And some of these guys are in their 40s.
Yes.
You don't see this being an issue for you climbing up the league?
I don't think so. If you look at the passing of Cambiasso or Steven Gerrard, they could pass to anyone on the pitch. And Luca Toni, you could boot the ball at his head. And if you hit it at the right angle, it would just go in.
Yeah.
So that you've got one tactic of his head. But I mean, it's. I'm just worried that they're just going to get...
Don't be worried.
Okay. No, fair enough.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
And you think you've got the right manager for this group?
Alan Perrin.
Perrin. Yeah. He's the perfect manager for it. He doesn't know he is. The rest of the players can't really communicate with him. I think it's so crazy, it might not work.
And what do you do if you get an injury? You've got no other players.
We'll play with 10 men.
Play with 10.
We'll play with 10. Or we'll
this is a man who's willing to play with no manager, like have a team with no manager.
But also, the player will just stay on the pitch. They'll just be, again, just be like in Pro Evo FIFA where the player just, walk really slowly clutching their leg. I think we just get, that's what you're going to do.
With like an ambulance sign over his head.
It'll be the first time a player has ever been stretched onto the pitch.
I guess you could just put them in goal as well.
Okay, so you've got your squad. You've got your manager. New club nickname, or you just stick Wenceslas?
I think it will still be the Owls.
Great.
However, the Owls will not be on the badge, so it will be unclear to any new fans. Anyone who is born this year will grow up not knowing why on earth they are called the Owls.
Okay, what's on the badge then?
Rumour has it that Obafemi Martin's head can fully rotate.
Do you have anything on the badge?
Yeah, we do. The badge is the front cover of This Is Football 2002.
This is Football 2002, which
you'll remember was Rio Ferdinand in an unsponsored plain red kit gently passing a ball.
Okay.
And that
was the least ambitious of football game covers of all time.
Oh, it was one of my favourite football games because no thought had gone into it.
So conservative. Such a conservative thing to be doing.
Yeah.
Just passing it along the back passing floor.
And Rio Ferdinand, it felt more surreal than Pro Evo's obsession of just having a referee on the front cover.
Yeah.
In a game where, crucially, it didn't have referees in the first few. So Rio Ferdinand was gently passing the ball. My favourite things about This Is Football were Peter Drury was doing the commentary.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know if it was a glitch on my game or just across the board on this PS2 game, that if ever you passed it to Van Nistelrooy, all the players had two bits of commentary. You had skulls and skulls! So if you shot on target. For some reason, Van Nistelrooy, regardless of where he was on the pitch, if you passed him, it was Van Nistelrooy! But even if it was like gently passed to him. And also, Edgar Davids couldn't score, regardless of what happened. If there was no goalkeeper and Edgar Davids ran it to the goal line, he just wouldn't go over the line. And it was like, oh, they'd forgotten to program a celebration for him or something. So they just gone, well, let's just Edgar Davids.
He's never going
to
score.
Well, it's such a specific thing to give one player, that Edgar Davids was the only player across the board who I found could not score.
And this is the thing that you want representing your team.
That's just going to be on the badge. Yeah, it's just to take away the Owls thing. That's just on the badge. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You'll still be called the Owls, but you'll just have that badge. Have you got a sponsor? Because obviously Sheffield Wednesday, for me, Sanderson is always at the... And I don't actually know what they did. I think they did typewriters or something or some sort of software in the Sheffield area. What have you got a sponsor
I don't think we need that much because these players are retired, so they're not commanding the high wages that you get of players these days, so we're not that fussed about sponsorship.
And you've
so
got a just, very small squad and it's just about having a logo
that's recognisable and you enjoy, because I think the bigger the logo you go, wow, they secured these guys, you know. So we're going to have THX, which are the do you remember that?
Sort of vaguely.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I do. Was
yeah, that was like that was the sound of their logo. It was just this awful. I mean, it was like really droned really loudly.
What is the sound?
I think it's a defunct company. That will play.
You'll play the sound.
That will play as they come out. That's our Mr. Brightside as they're coming out. Like that's what plays around the stadium loudly. Really loudly, only in the away end. Oh, should we play it for you?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Of course I remember that.
So that, we blast into the away end.
Fine. No, that makes sense.
So that place as they come out.
That's such a good starting sound, though.
Yes, we're also the only team, but only club team to have a national anthem.
Wow.
Yeah.
But which nation? Which nation?
Okay.
Or is it a regional
anthem? It's not a national, but we have an anthem.
You're making your
own national. The players line up. There's no music.
Yeah.
The anthem is the entire script from beginning to end of the Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston film Along Came Polly. So they recite that in unison.
In all different languages.
So they go, sort of go, interior, day. Polly walks into the... And they do all the stage directions. It goes on for 90 minutes. So it's the full length of a game. It really psychs out the other team. And the camera during the coverage would sort of pass across. And they're all really belting it out. So they're going, look to me in the eyeball. And stuff, you know, that sort of thing. And
then, you can't hide in that.
Yeah, and then occasionally, like, the camera goes... Like, if Paul Scholes was playing, it would show... he's not saying the words or anything like that. But it goes back to somebody who absolutely is belting out, like, Ben Stiller's lines. And yeah.
That is great.
But I just think psych tactics like that really
work.
And
is that... is that THX sound happening before or after the anthem?
So that happens before. That's as the teams are about to come out.
Oh my God. So that, because that THX sound really gets you up for it. It feels like something's about to begin.
Yeah. What's about to begin? Okay, okay, it's 90 minutes.
I think it's more like an air raid siren, to be fair. And then you get amateur dramatics.
Well, the air raid siren doesn't come in until the night before outside the away team's hotel.
Okay.
So no, that's what we play loudly overnight. Yeah, yeah.
And do you anticipate that there's certain players who'll be doing all the voices? You know what
no,
I mean?
They do it in their own voice. They belt it out with the intonation of we're singing the national anthem, but they're just yelling the full script.
The hands on hearts.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's. Yeah.
Hands on the chest. Hands
on the picture of Rio Ferdinand gently passing a ball.
Yeah.
But we're aiming to create one of the most alienating stadium atmospheres of all time to psych out the other team.
And they'll never want to come, and then they forfeit a match. You get
they'll
three points.
Forfeit matches, so we automatically win. Yeah,
oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Mascot. You're called the Owls, but I'm presuming you're having no owl
there's
there.
There's a ferret in Along Came Polly that could be the mascot.
I was thinking this, but also I think it's always an animal. And I just don't think it should be an animal. I think it's childish. So I think a huge, like, fluffy mascot,
yeah,
but of, like, Ken Livingston.
Ken Livingston is the mascot.
Yeah. Huge okay. head.
Is there a Sheffield
Why specifically
link?
Ken Livingston?
Because I think he's just a real person. Like, it's just here's a real person.
That's your example
it's
of
not,
a real person.
It's not sexy. It's not cute. It's Ken Livingston.
Will he be in the costume or will you have a...
No. I cannot stretch. We cannot... So we're trying to avoid Hitler being mentioned as much as possible. So Ken Livingston won't himself be there, but he's a silent, hey, have your picture taken with Ken? And, you know, and you can have your picture taken with Ken Livingston. He's massive.
Right. How big?
Bigger than other mascots.
Yeah. I'd say you're talking about in the region of about 10 to 11 feet. So
it's bigger than Mr. Blobby.
Just an absolutely enormous Ken Livingston.
Well, in the tunnel, he can't...
Where are the in the costume? Where's the person inside it looking through? What part of Ken
like
are they looking through?
Waistline.
They're looking through his dick.
So basically,
looking through Ken's dick at the kids that they're hugging. Yeah.
Make sure you hold the hands, kids.
Yeah, and so like they have to peel the flies open with their hands, like goats say, like as they sort of look through. But in the tunnel, when he's there in the tunnel, he'd be like the trousers. But the actual, like, upper body of Ken would be...
Folded
like,
over.
Bent back, scraping against the ceiling.
And then pops up when it's revealed.
And then erects, like, yeah. Doing, like, as he has
like
it
like outside
right.
a car dealership, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly like that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Food-wise, what are you serving up at this new stadium?
Oh, just a cup of tea.
Is it just tea? Just tea.
Yeah, yeah. Not everything's got to be weird.
What kind of tea? What tea are we serving?
Oolong.
Oolong. So you're so crucially
sorry, yeah. Every, it's only has to be weird.
So yeah. in Yorkshire, yeah. You're having oolong tea.
Yes.
How much are you charging for that?
Oh, it's free.
Everything's free. Tea.
What, how much is tea? You're not going to make much money from tea.
Oh, it depends. If that's the only thing on offer, then you've got
it's £20 to have your photo taken of Ken.
Right. Okay.
So
right,
that's where
that's the congestion
from.
Charge for the
yeah.
queue.
Yeah. No, and it's really hard because also like people will be queuing up to have a picture taken of Ken. And more people, and the longer the queue, the more exciting it looks. You go, oh, what's going on there? And it takes people queue up for ages because it's so difficult to get your kid and this 11-foot Ken Livingston in the same frame as each other.
Yeah,
because he's just going to get cut off. I think that's.
Do you have an official club photographer that takes the pictures on a sort of wide, on like a fisheye lens?
No.
But then
no,
sells it to you like at a theme park.
No, it would be like. No, I think it would just be like just do bring your own phones.
Bring right. your own photos, yeah, yeah. Take your own photo, but we charge you for it. Yeah.
No, that's fine. It's an admission thing.
Do you have a motto at all? Is that a motto thing that that Sheffield Wenceslas would have?
I think I was sort of wondering whether or not we sort of really need a motto because you sort of go, well, how often do people really say?
Exactly. Are they a thing of the past? Do you know what I mean? Like
I think so. I think that's genuinely that's something I'd be willing to just go.
You don't want a motto because you think it's a thing of the past. However, your players all have an average age of 54.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, sorry. And your mascot is former mayor of London.
But they're not of the past. They're still playing. That's the point.
You're making it present day. Yeah. Okay. A random scenario just cropped up from our supercomputer.
Yeah. Well, I've got to be ready to take this.
To be honest, I think I know how you're going to react to this one.
All right.
In a footballing first, your manager has handed in a transfer request from the club.
Oh, right, what?
As he is attracting interest at international level.
Alan Perry.
Well, you just said, yeah. He's previously been in Scandinavian lower leagues.
Yeah.
I didn't say he was good at
international level. He's good, but he's not.
Scandinavia is international.
You're right.
The Burkina Faso national team are very keen.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay.
But he won't cope because they all speak the same language, which exactly. is why he's not suited for international football.
I don't think he knows what he's letting himself in for.
The question is, never mind keeping him, because he's a goner.
Right.
How do you recover from the humiliation of being the first ever club owner whose manager hands in a transfer request? How do you get over it?
We play without a manager. Of course, we play without a manager.
And but do you go on the news and sort of do a speech personally? Are you like a public facing club owner who goes on and says we play without a manager?
So I give a lot of interviews.
Good on
but
you.
I'm like Andy McNabb. I'm always done in shadow, so you never really sort of see my face.
Is your voice altered?
It depends. Sometimes it's lower. Sometimes it's more high pitched.
So now I can get a read.
The occasional word will just slip out. So it'll be sort of like we're going to do as well as we possibly can, if you know what I mean. And it would just be the odd sort of thing. And I will like lean forward out of the shadow as well. So occasionally you get a little glimpse, like, will we see him? So I think we go, we're gonna do it managerless, and we're gonna do it this weekend, this Saturday. We'll arrange a match for this Saturday.
I'd say actually there are some squads where I think that would work. Unfortunately, you've assembled a team entirely of leaders. So the competition, it's all captains, your team.
Everyone wears a captain's armband.
Right.
Because we just go, everyone should feel happy speaking up and saying, I think we should do this.
And you don't think that'll lead to sort of apprentice level conflict?
No, I think it might. I think if we're being realistic, Paul Robinson is unlikely to get a word in.
Yeah, I think that
of all the players. I think ultimately it's going to be a clash between Nedved and Gerrard. I think those will be the two.
Stam's going to be making himself heard.
I think Stam's quite quiet.
They'll just go, you got nutmeg by Craig David. And they'll go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, fair enough. You've always got something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's an adventurous approach.
It is a really adventurous approach. I'm not against it. I mean, it's...
You guys don't seem convinced. Is it because we don't have a motto?
I think it lacks that. Most, I do think it lacks the motto.
Most teams have had a motto. Look, it's your... Are there any rules that you're... You've said you're not going to have a motto. Are there any rules
any
that you're
going to...
Any
random rules? Like, you know, all the... You've got, obviously, everyone wears a captain's armband. You can have, like, all the players...
That's one of the rules.
Well, I'd quite like them to try this Roman Centurion formation we were talking about. Yeah. I think that would be...
And what once a game? Once a month?
Every play.
From kickoff, you just go, well, let's give this a go.
And who's your runner? Who's your runner in the middle?
So runner in the middle would probably be the person who's weakest on the ball, not outside of Paul Robinson.
Well, Paul Robinson, because you don't need a goalkeeper.
It's a risk. I don't know. It's still a risk.
They've got to finish at the end as well, haven't they?
Exactly. They've got to be able to get it in the net. So it wouldn't be Edgar Davids, is what I'm saying. to make the team. But I think you don't want to take a chance, and I think you'd go Luca Toni.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be Luca Toni. He'll dribble it in.
Luca Toni in the middle, surrounded by Stam, Gerrard, Carlos.
Gattuso is putting into play. If anyone's getting near him, he's killing them.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised you haven't picked Rio Ferdinand, because he is very good at gently passing the ball.
But he's on the shirt. He's there in spirit, but we wouldn't sign him.
He's there in cotton.
We wouldn't sign him. That'd be ridiculous. Fair enough. Well, Glenn, we've got to basically put the data into the supercomputer.
Oh, yeah.
And the supercomputer analyzes the data.
Yeah.
And it's quite high tech. We have a big sound effect budget on this show.
All right.
That's the analysis happening now. And this decides whether or not you're basically a fit and proper person to run the football club. Based on all the information you've given us, with your giant blobby Livingston, and your absorbing of another Sheffield team, and so forth. Okay, the analysis is done. Lloyd, what does the supercomputer say?
It's saying two words. Absolutely and not.
Not a fit and proper person to run a football club.
It comes up with a few little words afterwards. It says civil war.
Yeah.
Underneath it. T, question mark, are you sure?
Yeah.
And what does that say, Rhys?
That says UN translators necessary.
There you go.
So, you'd have to have everyone with headsets on, it reckons, for it to work.
If we're charging £20 per Livingston photo, we can get the translators in. If that is what your big concern is, let the players talk to each other, let them communicate.
Yeah, I think it's more the fact that you're merging two teams together that have a deep vitriol for each other, and you're casting one aside, and you're calling...
But I'm bringing people together in other ways. Can you think of a less divisive mascot than Ken Livingston?
No, that's not the issue. I mean, it hasn't mentioned Ken Livingstone. I think that was one of the green ticks.
To be honest, I disagree with the supercomputer on this occasion, just because you haven't done anything immoral. A lot of people come on here and just really play with morality, whereas what you've done is you've actually given work back to several retirees, Ken included.
Yeah, and probably the CEO of THX.
Yeah, exactly. You're bringing back a lot of stuff. It's very retro.
Whoever wrote that track, can you call it a track? They're going to get some serious royalties.
You can't afford the translators, because your 20 quid photos is going to go just on royalties for that noise. Plus, you've got to pay off the Along Came Polly writers and studio.
Oh, they'll be fine. We're getting more coverage for your film. Your film is essentially being...
It's a massive spoiler. It's a massive spoiler. It's your the whole film, script.
You get to hear your words brought to life...
By Oliver Penny Martins.
By Esteban Cambiasso. In a language he does not understand.
There is something to be said for that. I'm afraid the verdict is no.
This is... Why did I come on this if you're going to just I'm very happy to be here. I just can't... It just sounds like you're not very open to new ideas.
It's the supercomputer. It's a supercomputer that
the issue, Glenn, is we're not open to old ideas, which is what this feels like.
Wow, okay. All right. Yep, fair enough.
But
okay.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. And look, you've got to... You know, I'm glad I got this off my chest. This is my vision for the club, and let that be on the record that for all Sheffield Wednesday fans know that's what my dream is for the club in the future.
Well, if we do get in touch with Gary Megson, we'll let him know.
Oh God, yeah.
But we'll be lost in the aroma. There we go, Glenn Moore, Ken Livingstone, Obafemi Martins, the Holy Trinity.
There was a bingo, a name card bingo of none of that would have been on there.
No, I don't think any of those people come up.
None of those people, none of those sentences, none of those situations.
You know Paul Robinson, don't you?
I do know the goalkeeper, Paul Robinson, yeah.
From Sheffield Wenceslas.
I didn't want to say it. He would never play for that team.
Yeah, I don't know that I expect any of them to play for that team, to be honest.
He's from Beverley/York, played for Leeds United. He will never play for...
This is a unique opportunity, though, Lloyd.
I think
Sheffield Wenceslas, big Ken Livingstone mascot.
I think he's had many a unique opportunity, and I think he would tell Glenn where to stick it.
Yeah, fair enough. I think a lot of people would.
Hey, should we go?
Yeah, let's go. Subscribe to the podcast, all that shit.
Tell your friends.
See you next time.
Bye.